This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. And it is Tuesday, so happy Tuesday. And weather seems to be a little nicer today, not so humid, and seems a little cooler.
Well, and we're getting rain in many areas, not everybody. I was looking at the radar, but we need the rain for our gardens and our lawns. Has not been a lot of precipitation, although June we had a couple of pretty good dumpings. May we had almost nothing. So bring on the rain. It's coming from the south, and it's moving very slowly, so you might get a downpour that lasts 10 or 15 minutes, and that should take care of the garden for a couple days.
There you go. I love those days when I don't have to water my plants.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have any vegetables? You're not growing?
No, I don't do that. I have my flowers. I have my porch full of them, and then my backyard is full of them now. But I like taking care of them. I shouldn't even say that. I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably my favorite time of year.
Well, we grew some herbs this year, and some of them really come out good, and some of them don't come out as good. Like, Dill just went to seed so fast. And I guess maybe that's more of a springtime thing. I don't know enough about it, quite honestly.
I'm not good with growing things like that. And I've tried to do herbs in the past, too. And mm-hmm.
Some of them really
work.
Yeah, some
for
are
me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say we're probably about 80%, but 20% of them just don't do well. We put some poppies in this year, which not herbs, but flowers. They're just not happening. Mm. It's not happening. But some other stuff you put in just takes off and goes crazy.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
Got my first cherry tomatoes off the vine yesterday for my salad with my dinner. There was only two of them. Okay, well, I know.
So
cut them up
funny.
In little pieces so I could have lots of bites with them. Then I have some other big, you know, big boy tomatoes too that are coming up. Barbie's away till tomorrow after a week, and she'll come home to hopefully some more tomatoes and some home cooked loving.
There you go.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah. Last night you were asking me earlier about how did my pork roast turn out?
Yeah.
So as I told you over the weekend, I went to Shaw's and adopted some meat, you know, some orphan meat from the. From the discount case. It's all the stuff that has a pull date of usually the next day. You know, why they put them so soon? Because it looks good. You know, 98% of what I see in there, it's like, yeah. They got all the peel-off stickers.
Especially if you're going to use it right away. I mean,
well, that's it. Yeah. That's it. And I'm the kind of guy that likes to shop the day of as far as, you know, the meat and the protein.
The same thing.
And I get teased about it all the time from Barb that I go to the store every day, but it's like to get it fresh.
I'm funny. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you need to have to talk with her about that.
That's funny.
But I got some filet mignon over the weekend. I got like 9 ounces, only ended up costing me like $6.50. Which and it was outstanding. So I also went and adopted a 2.5 pound pork loin roast. And I thought, what can I do with this? Oh, I got the big green egg. I'll smoke it in the backyard. And I'll use some of Shelley Walcott's Healthy Solutions spice blends for a rub. Because, yeah, I like making rubs, but I got a bunch of packs of those.
Yep.
And they're good. So I use the poultry and chicken rub. Put it all over the roast yesterday, sealed it up in saran wrap, put it in the fridge while I was away, came home, took it out, started the green egg, and got it on there. And after about 2 hours at 300 degrees, it was 145 degrees, which is now the safe temperature for pork.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, though, about pork, and I hadn't done a pork roast before. Most of my pork has been ribs, is that I expected it to be a little bit pink because at 145 degrees, it's going to be. It's not going to be white like when you absolutely kill it and burn it.
Right.
So I cut it open, and the whole thing is completely pink. And I'm thinking, oh, but then I remembered. I did Thanksgiving turkey for a couple years, and most of the meat, when you smoke it, turns pink.
Really?
Yeah, it's fine. It tasted okay. It was very tender. That's just the way some meats react to being smoked.
Interesting. Now, so... I mean, when you sliced into it, mm-hmm. you could tell it was cooked, but it was just pink.
Yeah, because it was firm enough. It wasn't,
right.
You know,
like
how...
that, yeah.
Yeah, the knife didn't struggle with it, but it kind of threw me back from it. Yeah. And I should have known that because I've done enough cooking on the green egg, but I haven't done a lot of pork, and I've just done poultry a number of times. And it makes some people nervous that aren't, like, up to speed that pork is okay at 145, or that the dark meat on a turkey that turns pink is okay.
Yeah, I never knew that. That's quite an interesting tip.
Yeah, so if somebody smokes a meal for you sometime and you're pretty confident they know what they're doing, if it's pink, it should be okay.
Well, you know, my friends, Shonda and Stan, they smoke all the time, so mm-hmm. they must know that.
Yeah, do they have a smoker or do they just do it on a...
No, they have a smoker.
A gas grill?
They have a smoker, mm-hmm. Yep.
So I found out there is a guy that lives in Bedford who is a national barbecue champion. He has 6 big green eggs.
6?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You would be in heaven.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't mind having another one. But
are there different types of
eggs? Well, there's different sizes.
Okay.
There's probably 3 or 4 different sizes. And so I have the biggest one that you can get, which isn't huge, but it pretty much takes care of what you'd need for an average party of, say, 4 to 6. Which is fine.
So why would he have 6 of them?
Well, I don't know, except, and I'm waiting to hear back from him because I shot him a note. I found out. I got his contact information. And here's how I knew is because he has a really good book that is called Smoke It Like a Pro on the Big Green Egg. I was at Barnes & Noble the other day, and one of my friends at work, Sarah, said, hey, you like barbecuing? Let me show you this book. And I looked at the author credit. The guy's from Bedford. So I checked it out. And I tracked him down, and I found out that he owns a land surveying company. His name is Eric Mitchell. Pretty cool-looking guy with the big white beard and the glasses. He goes around the country. He gives lessons. I'm going to guess he gets paid pretty well because he'll appear on behalf of manufacturers or stores or meat places. So I'm sure he's busy. I think he's got like 3 locations of his land surveying business. Plus, he's an absolute egg guy. So I thought, let's get him on the show.
That is so cool.
So I wanted to confirm the name of the book, and so I was online on Google, and you know how after you find something, it might say related searches.
Right.
So here are some of the related searches for "Smoke It Like a Pro." Okay, that's the book. How to smoke a cigarette.
Oh, my God.
How to smoke like a badass. How to smoke hookah like a pro. And then, you know, some of the other ones. But
Funny.
No, don't need to learn how to smoke a cigarette.
Ew. Did you ever?
Never. Nope.
Me neither.
Tried it once at 12, just a couple puffs. Parents out of the house. There's the ashtray. Light it up. Ah! Horrible.
You know, this is a funny story because when I was probably about 12, I don't remember exactly, but I went to sleep over. We lived in Bedford, and we went to sleep over friends' houses in Manchester. And, you know, my friend Kim says, you know, we used to go there a lot, you know, during the day and stuff like that. And she's like, come on, we're going to go meet Jimmy in the back alley. And I'm like, all right, you know, I know Jimmy.
Jimmy
so
in the
no
back
big
alley.
No big, yeah,
sounds
in the alley.
Sketchy.
I know, right? So we go back there. And they're all huddling. We go over, and that's what they had, a cigarette.
And how old were you?
And I think it was probably around 12, okay. 10 or 12 or 11. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I was whatever. And they take out the cigarette, and they take out the matches, and they start lighting the cigarette. You know what I did? I started crying.
You did?
I did. I was freaking out.
Because you couldn't believe that your friends were doing this?
I was just so, there's no way I'm doing this. I don't know why. And I have never, ever... ever smoked. And so, even like the looks of them, like at the diner, you know, when smoking was still allowed.
Yes.
At the diner, of course, you know, lots of restaurant people that they smoke.
Yeah, you see them out in the back on their break
exactly,
all the time in the alley.
Right.
Well, way back when you could smoke even at the diner, of course, they'd leave their cigarette packs all around. Mm-hmm. Well, my pet peeve was, I don't want to see those things. You hide them or something. I mean, I wouldn't even touch them. Yucky.
I'm going to guess then that you went along with when the law was instituted, no smoking in restaurants.
I did it before it was the law.
You did. That's
way
cool.
Way before it was the law.
Because I'm going to guess that a fair amount of your clientele are probably smokers. And did you get much pushback from some of the old timers?
Well, when I decided to do it, this is kind of, you don't know the story?
No.
Oh, this is an interesting story.
What year are we talking now?
We're talking in 98.
Okay.
98.
So 17 years ago.
Yep. And it was not the law. Wasn't even close to being the law, really.
Right.
And I was hooked up with this diner guru guy, Randy Garbin, and he promoted smoke-free diners. And, you know, statistics at that time were 1 out of 4 people smoke. You know, just think about it. Your stool, people are coming in, and we did. We had lots of old-timers coming in, not just old-timers, but, you know, people coming in sitting at the stool just smoking. So the stool and drinking coffee after coffee after coffee after coffee.
Right, so not spending much money.
Not spending any money and taking up my stool. So I decided I'm doing it. So I let my dad know. I'm like, Dad, this is what I decided. Here's my statistics, da da da. And he's like, Carol. And I'm always the one, I go to my dad, I get his advice. And if he said yes, it would be yes. If he said no, it would be no. I mean, I just did what my dad always said. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of, that's just how it always was. And this time he's like, Carol, there's no way you can do that. It's not going to be good. No way. Now, this was in May of 98. So I then, and I said, well, you know what, Dad? I said, I'm doing it. So, and he was just all freaked out. So my next phone call, well, I was with him face to face, but then I made a phone call to my friend, John Clayton. And I said, John, I said, you know, Carol at the Red Arrow. Yeah. Yeah. I said, well, I'm going smoke free. He's like, Carol, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm 99%. I'm 100% sure I'm doing it. It's just when I'm doing it is all up to you. And he says, what do you mean? I go, that was when he was doing his Monday column in the Union Leader.
Yes.
And I said, well, I said, when you tell me you can put it in your Monday column that I'm going to go smoke-free is the day that I will go smoke-free. So tell me when. Well, and I can hear him typing in the background. He's asking me questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, well, it was like the next Monday because he was all excited about it. He's like, I don't know. Are you sure this is the right thing to do? You know, that, kind of like what my dad was saying to me. I'm like, I'm doing it. That's it. I'm doing it. So the day of, and of course it's leading up to it, and my customers are screaming.
So you have signs posted that say Monday?
As of Monday morning, 6 a.m.,
yeah,
the diner will be smoke-free. Well, Monday morning early, like say midnight, you know, Sunday night, whatever, they were picketing out front.
Seriously?
They were. So I wake up in the morning, I run down to get my newspaper, and I mean, John Clayton, God bless him, it was, I mean, if you go into the Red Arrow now, you'll see the article. It was smack dab, huge picture, the top half of the heading of the Union Leader. Red Arrow Diner goes smoke-free with my picture on it. And amazing, absolutely amazing. So immediately the very next day, I saw positive results. I mean, and ironically, our coffee sales went down. But our food sales, after a year, my percents went up 18%.
That's a great story.
Yeah, just incredible.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Did you get much media attention after the John Clayton?
Oh, yeah. People, you know, American Heart Association and you know, all that stuff.
I mean, you're right. That is probably 6-7 years before, well, even more than that, before it became law. I don't know when it became law. But
that was in May of 98. And then in September of 98 was when I was voted one of the top 10 diners in the country by USA Today. So that's really when a lot of my marketing kicked into gear because, you know, I'm thinking, God, I can just call John Clayton and get put on the front page like that. Interesting. And that was really the start of my marketing days.
Yes.
When I really, you know, played with it and love it. I love
the marketing. Cause was right. The timing was right.
Yeah, it was perfect.
It was the perfect storm for you. You're not going to pick up the phone every week and get that. But when you pick your spots. And I'm wondering if you kind of got on the radar of USA Today. Because they see it on the wire services and they say, well, this is kind of cool. Let's look into it.
Well, they approached Randy Garbin, the diner guru, and asked his opinion of his top 10 diners in the country.
Okay.
And I was one of them.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, you got friends in the right places, right?
I do.
And then I'm going to guess the person at USA Today did a little research on all of them and saw that and said, oh, yeah, that's definitely a good choice.
Yep. And then over the years, you know, I'd play it, you know, I'd get a phone call because I worked the diner. I was, you know, I was hands-on at the diner. And, you know, I'd get a phone call. Hi, you know, I met my girlfriend there and I want to propose to her on Friday night. Or first I answer the phone. They're like, can we reserve a table? Like, well, we don't really take reservations. And then he gives me the story. And I'm like, of course I'll reserve a table for you if you're going to propose to her. Friday night, 7 o'clock, whatever day it was. And I had a sign made up for them and everything. And, well, I just kind of called the media.
Yeah.
And said, you know, didn't say who I just said, do you know that there's going to be a, and we were smack on the front page again.
Nice.
I mean, there's so many times I've done that. It's almost like, oh. Then we lost our guest book. Somebody stole our guest book.
Oh, no.
We have like, we're in our 18th edition or something. Mm-hmm. You know, people, since we were voted one of the top 10 diners in the country, we got a guest book. So we have literally people from all over the world that signed the guest book at the Red Arrow. And that is so interesting to read. When you go, if you go,
I'll
just
bet.
Sit, ask for the guest book and just read it. It's so interesting.
Now, is it only the Lowell location or do all of them
have
their own?
Oh, no, all three have guest books.
Okay.
Yes. We incorporated it in all three. Mm-hmm. But one, somebody stole it. So I called John. I'm like, John, somebody stole my guest book.
I love
and
it.
And smack into his Monday call. And he came, took pictures of the other guest books and please, we want this back. And
No, those are all great
yeah,
stories.
And fun.
Good for you thinking of that. And John knows a good story.
John's awesome.
When he hears it. I remember a couple years ago, they stole the fiberglass Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, Colonel Sanders.
Yes.
Over on the west side. And that was a big story.
Yeah.
And I don't recall if it was ever located or returned.
Yeah,
I don't
guess
know.
My guess wasn't returned either, unfortunately.
It never was?
No, never was.
See, what does somebody do with a
no
guest
kidding,
book like
right?
that?
I don't know. Huh. I don't know. They stole my sandwich board sign, too, out front.
They did?
And they still, you know what I think that is? I think that's the colleges when they do their little sorority and, you know, whatever.
Scavenger hunt.
Yeah,
steal a sandwich board.
We get Red Arrow stuff stolen all the time. Terrible. Mm.
So I'm going to guess it's what's called the cost of doing business.
It is.
Just factor it in
at
X percent.
Yes.
Sad to say.
It is
well, very interesting
but
stories.
Anyway.
I didn't know about the smoking thing. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Way ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah. So. Huh. Anyway, there was one ahead of me in Manchester, like the month before, and I didn't even really know that when
sure.
I was gathering my statistics. But the back room,
they went
right before me, and then
now there's another a restaurant with a lot of heritage and probably a lot of longtime customers.
Yep, just like me. Yep,
same thing. And I'm sure they had their share of pushback on that.
Yep. But you know what? It was by far the best thing ever.
All right. So when did Dad come to you and say?
Okay. So I was in May of 98.
Yeah.
January 99, mm-hmm. Belmont Hall went smoke free.
And your dad was
he
running it at the time?
He followed my suit.
Right.
He was like, oh, yeah, he was at
but
Belmont
did
Hall.
Did he ever actually come to you and say, you know, Carol, I was wrong and
yes,
you were
he did.
Right? He did.
And then that's when they went smoke free. January.
I'd like to get his, his take on it when we have a chance.
When we have him on.
Here tomorrow if we have a couple minutes, because that's a very cool story.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we have for food holiday? National Tobacco Day. Okay, that's great.
No, it's actually Cow Appreciation Day.
Okay.
Cow Appreciation Day. And
I'm hugging my shoes right now.
There you go. And it's also National Grand Marnier Day.
Oh, you know what? That is my favorite cordial.
Is it?
Grand Marnier.
I like putting that on top of my margaritas.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's called, when you do that, it's called a Cadillac margarita.
I didn't know that.
So if you want to, you know, impress them, say I would like a Cadillac Jamaican margarita and watch their heads spin.
See, I say Jamaican with Grand Marnier.
Okay.
That's how I say it.
Right.
I didn't know it was called Cadillac.
Yeah,
I'll have to try that.
And I'm not sure if all bartenders would know that. I think a lot of them do.
Maybe the Mexican restaurants would
know
that. Yeah,
probably.
But.
Well, yeah. And sometimes before bed at night, I'll just pull out a little glass, a little
bit
of ice, and a couple fingers of Grand Marnier and just sip it. Yeah, try it sometime. It's very soothing. Yeah, there's a couple other cordials, Courvoisier or a few scotches that are kind of nice before bedtime.
Yeah, nice.
Some Patron XO. Have you ever had that?
The dark one.
There's one that's coffee infused, and the other one is chocolate infused.
I've had the coffee one.
Mm-hmm. Another good cordial.
Yeah, I got that. It was when I was in my Patron kick. You can't really make a margarita out of that.
No.
Right.
It's just another one of their products.
I bought it, and then I was
chocolate
like,
margarita.
And then I was thinking, well, maybe like an espresso martini or something, but it still didn't quite work.
Yeah, it's probably a little too sweet
for
that.
It didn't work, but anyway. Cool. So let's take a break, and you know what? When we come back, I'm going to give you all an update on my sister-in-law Lori's Camino walk. Out in Spain,
that
is going.
That's amazing what she's doing. I've been watching the pictures. And if we have time, I'd like to throw a trivia question in.
Ooh, well, actually, we'll do a trivia right when we get back, and then we can talk about that. And if we
while
get
we
callers,
wait for the
we'll
calls.
Go back and forth.
Okay,
yeah,
sounds good.
Sounds good. All right, you're listening to Food for Thought. Mike Morin, Carol Lawrence, we're in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Good afternoon, 12:37 on the Pulse, 107.7 WTPL, and we are brought to you by Casey's Rib Shack, famous hickory-smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue, 2nd Street in Manchester. Also by Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room, Food for Thought, and Kale and Company. A little later in the show, we'll be talking to what I would consider one of the big rock stars, the world of cuisine, television, food personality, and restaurateur, Michael Simon. You know him from The Chew, and of course from Food Network. He's got a brand new show that if you are a lover of meat and beer, he's going to be hosting a show you're going to love. We'll talk to Michael Simon in just a few moments.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's give you an update on my sister-in-law, Lori, and my niece and my nephew, Elliot and Amelia. They're out in Spain right now. And she's been starting to blog a little bit more, so mm-hmm. I think she might be like getting a little bit more used to her schedule and stuff like that, because I notice, you know, she's being a little bit more consistent. But listeners, you can check her her adventure out at CaminoMentalHealthWalk.com, and she's posting pictures and all that. And so I asked her, I said, we've been keeping listeners updated, and she answered me back this morning. Well, you know, and I said, at some point, if we could maybe get a phone call from you to talk about, you know, what food you're eating.
Even
on the
weekly,
way.
You know, over the next couple of weeks.
Definitely. So just a couple little, they've walked over 118 miles so far, day 9. Day 9, I think, was yesterday.
Okay, so 118 it's a little under miles. 20. It's a little under 20 miles a day, so I don't know if they're going to make that up. I think you told me that's what they need to do.
18 to 22, I think, is what they need to do. But this, she wrote this morning, I walked with a Polish Jew from Israel for 4 hours. Both his parents were victims of the Holocaust. His dad at 10 saw his parents and siblings executed. His mom was given to another family as her own parents were taken by train to a concentration camp. She grew up with Catholic nuns who raised many orphans. They're just humbled. I mean, the stories mm-hmm. that she is hearing is just amazing. I mean, the journey that they're on. And then she attended daily mass, and she put a little video of a bunch of Spanish ladies. They all had floral dresses on, and they smelled like Macy's perfume.
Okay.
Macy's perfume counter. But then I asked her what they've been eating. Espressos, cafe lattes, loaves and loaves of fresh breadsticks, fresh squeezed OJ, croissants, fruit, salami, pepperoni sticks, and cheese. That's about all we've eaten. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Spain needs a Red Arrow diner.
I love it.
Oh,
why don't you say that in Spanish?
I know.
Well, rojo is red, I think, but after that, I have no idea.
Who knows?
Well, that's interesting. The diet sounds very European.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like I'm hearing a lot of what you would think fish would also be. Although I don't know if they're that close to the coast. I don't have a good sense as to where they are.
I don't think they are, but
Portugal, that's part of their diet a lot.
Right now they're kind of going like this and up. So the coast is
okay.
I'm looking at their map.
She's using hand motions to show me where, without a map. I'm trying
they're
to follow.
They're not near the coast right now, I don't believe.
Well, I'm going to guess that the people that you will meet, for instance, somebody who had loved ones in the concentration camps. Now, I'm wondering if this particular route or journey is traveled by many with different causes they're raising money for.
That's exactly what it is.
That's the kind of people you're going to find.
Yes.
That would be cool.
Exactly. There was a picture on her blog of, there's a cross at some point on the
I did
walk.
See that.
Okay,
yeah.
With somebody laying
somebody
on
was
the
sleeping
bench.
Under
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, all different. And then the other day, I don't know if you saw this one, where they were 6 miles into the day and they had to use a bathroom, and a man let them use their bathroom in his house. And there were like 6 or 7 of them that he let them come in and
really?
Use their bathroom.
Huh.
So Lori said when she came out, he doesn't speak any English, so it's kind of hand motions trying to, So
okay.
He pointed to her like this to come mm-hmm. through, and she followed him through. And she said, you walked through like a hallway and then opened up these doors and it was to his backyard,
mm-hmm.
which was, you got to go to her blog and check this out. Open up the back doors, and it opened up to a mountain view, and the man, it took him 3 years, and way out in the distance on his property, he made the world map out of shrubs.
No way.
It is so cool. You
did she
check
get some pictures
out.
Of that?
Oh, yeah. She has it all on her blog. So listeners, if you want to see that, CaminoMentalHealthWalk.com.
CaminO.
Right.
I think just like the Chevy.
Exactly. MentalHealthWalk.com. And really cool.
Wow.
And then they went to say goodbye, and he explained to her that what they don't say goodbye, mm-hmm. they only say hello in Spain.
Okay.
And you do it by kissing on each side of the cheek.
Even a total stranger.
And then Lori said, so I said hello to him the Spain way, and mm-hmm. And they went back on their way. So the people they're meeting is just incredible.
So it would seem to me this particular gentleman who hosted them, so I could use the bathroom, probably is used to that.
Yeah, it sounds like they are.
And so they live there and they accept that. And they probably actually really embrace the fact that they have all these strangers from around the world that come by. And if they have to use the facilities, and this is their contribution to all the good causes.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is.
Did you see the picture of Elliot washing his clothes?
I didn't see that one, no.
She said this is,
this
what
is
they
her
do
son.
Each
mm-hmm.
night, my nephew, each night they're in the bathroom and he's washing his clothes in the sink. She says we hang them out and we wear them the next day. That's you know, pretty much.
Well, it certainly is a good introduction to how other parts of the world live. And they're not in a particularly poverty-stricken area either, I don't think. Spain is far from a third-world nation.
It seems really, I mean, beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The scenery they're seeing, too, is just incredible. We have a trivia I forgot.
Oh, yeah. All right. You want to do a trivia question?
Yeah, let's shoot out a trivia.
All right. So, first of all, what do folks have that they can win?
The folks are going to win two gift certificates to two restaurants. One of them is to my favorite Mexican restaurant, Puerto Vallarta, mm-hmm. right here in Manchester on 2nd Street. And the other one is Mama McDonough's. Irish Pub. That's one I've yet to go to, and it's
Where
on
they?
Our list. They're in Hillsborough.
Hillsborough, okay. Hillsborough. So essentially, we're going to give you a couple of really great ethnic experiences,
yes.
or at least $20 off in each particular
each
case. One Puerto Vallarta, the other is Mama McDonough's. All right, here is the question. Of course, it has to do with food on Food for Thought here at The Pulse. What is the country's biggest organic grocer? Talking about the USA, which grocery, and well, I'll say it's a chain because it is. Mm-hmm. What is the country's biggest organic grocer? And that means in terms of sales, in dollars. I can tell you it's $4 billion annually, so it's big business. I'll repeat it. What is the country's biggest organic grocer? 866-823-1077 if you'd like to take a shot. We'll give you some outstanding food. We also received something very nice in the mail today from Nalima, who
yes.
owns Creative Kitchens, which is kind of a, well, it's a place, it's a restaurant facility, but they don't serve food. It's where entrepreneurs come and they make their cookies, their granola, and in this particular case, little marshmallow squares with photos on them.
It's so beautiful. And, you know, listeners, if you... within probably a couple hours or so, my social media girl is really good. If you go to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike Facebook or foodforthoughtnh.com, our website, I'm sure these pictures will be up. They are so cute. They're square. They're homemade marshmallows, too.
Right. They're about maybe an inch and a half to 2 inches square.
Square. And she put our pictures on them. She has our logo of your business and my business. Mm-hmm. And the picture she picked of me is me working out. Not a very lovely picture.
Well, there's more. Well, we have more of those pictures of you than anything else recently. All right, so I think I'll repeat the question, and we'll go to the phones. Again, what is the country's biggest organic grocer? I think Cindy is standing by. Cindy, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. And where are you calling us from?
Concord.
Is it raining yet in Concord?
It sure is.
All right. But the garden needs it, right?
It does. Although we've had quite a bit, but that's okay.
Okay. All right. So what is the country's biggest organic grocer?
I'm torn between two.
Only, just give me one.
Yep. I think I'm going to say Whole Foods.
No, that they're number two at $3.6 billion. So I'm sorry to say probably the other one is one, but I don't want you to say it because we want to give somebody else a chance.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Cindy, thanks for the try, and we hope to hear from you again.
Thank you.
Don't stay away so long next time. All right, do we have another caller standing by? All right, so here is the question once again. You already know what it is not. What is the country's biggest organic grocer? It is not Whole Foods. All right, Christina, you're up next with Carol and Mike on Food for Thought. What is your guess? No, Hannaford is more of a, even though it's a big chain, it's more regional, although they were just bought by some mega company, which is going to make them like the third or fourth biggest food retailer in the world, or at least in this country. It is not Hannaford, I'm sorry to say, Christine, but thank you for your try. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, 866-823-1077.
All right, Bob is standing by with our third guest. What is the country's biggest organic grocer? And I have to say, in some ways, it's kind of a surprise. But when you hear the answer, you'll say it's not. Bob, what's your guess?
Sue Leonard.
Which one?
Sue Leonard.
No, I don't think I've heard of that one.
Me neither.
Oh, well, that's by New York City.
Oh,
okay. All right, well, what you want to do is you want to think something that is strictly a national in probably every corner of the country. Bob, thanks for your try. We should take a quick break. Let the phones reload at 866-823-1077, Food for Thought. Again, I'll repeat the question. What is the country's biggest organic grocer? If you know, we've got dinner for you. So give us a call. We'll be right back on The Pulse.
Food for Thought. for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
It's Carolyn Mike with a shout out to our sponsors of Food for Thought, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry, IntegrityFit.com. And just talking about Red Arrow Diners a few moments ago and some of the interesting publicity opportunities, Manchester, Milford, and now the brand new drive-through location in Londonderry, RedArrowDiner.com. Carol?
All right. And we have a trivia going right now to win dining at Puerto Vallarta Mexican Restaurant, as well as Mama McDonough's in Hillsboro. And I'll reread the question. What is the country's largest organic grocer? And I believe we have Lenny on the line. Hi, Lenny.
How you doing, Carol?
Good. How are you?
Not bad at all.
So what is the country's largest organic grocer?
I think I read this a couple weeks ago. I think it's Costco.
You got it.
Lenny, you're a wise man. Good for you.
Oh, I don't know about that, but...
Well,
I
you were...
I don't even know why I picked up the paper to read it, but I read it anyway, so that's a good thing I read it that day.
Well, you know, time and a place for everything. And look, you just won dinner at two different places, Puerto Vallarta awesome. and Mama McDonough's.
Awesome. Great.
Great. Congratulations. And if you can just stay on the line and give Bob your info, and we'll get that out to you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Enjoy your dining, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. See you later, Lenny. There you go. At $4 billion annually.
That's huge.
Worth of organic goods. Yeah, I'm sure
I mean, organic. You know, I mean, that's pretty huge.
It is big business for sure. And I think people, when you mention organic food, their thoughts immediately go to Whole Foods,
that's,
of course.
That was my guess when you asked me that question.
And that was our first caller's guess. And then Trader Joe's, nobody brought that one
up.
And Hannaford, it's kind of good that people have Hannaford in their minds as selling, you know, because they have the different star quality of how healthy the food is, although not all of it is organic. But if people have that impression, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
But they're not a big enough company to sell $4 billion worth, followed at $3.6 billion by Whole Foods, which is, I think, I don't know if they sell anything that isn't organic. They probably do at Whole Foods.
I think they do, but I think
it's
mostly organic. You know, like, it must be a high percentage that is. And isn't that the Whole Foods is going in Bedford, right?
Yeah, I believe
it is.
That's
the big Whole Foods right next to Macy's and actually next to Fresh Market.
Pretty sure it is, because that's kind of been a wasted area for how many years?
It looks like it's going to be huge. I go by there all the time, and oh my goodness, it's huge.
I mean, you feel bad for the Sheraton and everything. It was the Wayfair Inn. It was tired. It was old. And it was taking up a lot of property, and now you've got a whole new strip of stuff that's, whether or not the neighborhood likes that, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, how long is Macy's going to last? You're just 2 miles away from the Mall of New Hampshire.
It better last.
Oh, well, I hope
love
it does.
Macy's.
Yeah, well, I hope it does. But I'm just wondering, when there's two of them so close together.
It's funny you say that, because, you know, I find that also, because I go in, you know, I like Macy's, and I go in pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. But there's... Really, Mike, it's always busy. There's always...
That particular location?
There is. Yeah. There is. I always find a lot of people
there.
In there. The weird thing is, you know, that we're mentioning Macy's, they've been working on construction for months. And, you know, they have all the scaffolding out and stuff, but I never see anybody on them. I swear to God.
Maybe they all work at night or something.
Never see... Maybe, you know, never ever see anybody on them.
It's weird.
It's kind of strange.
If you've been watching the news the last, seems like 6 months, the scaffolding around the dome at the U.S. Capitol is kind of weird to see. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah, just Google scaffolding Capitol, and it's just kind of weird to see that. And, of course, before that, all the scaffolding at the Washington Monument because of the earthquake damage a couple of years ago. And when I was working in New York City, it was even stranger to see scaffolding completely enveloping the Statue of Liberty. I was worried this would have been 1984. I was there, and it was just weird to look out of our 28th Midtown Manhattan studio window and see the Statue of Liberty all wrapped up in scaffolding. But I guess you got to fix stuff sooner or later, or else it just isn't going to last very long.
That was Jesse's favorite. He loved the Statue of Liberty for
some
reason.
Yeah, did he get to see it?
You know what? When he started losing his eyesight, that was one of the big trips we made, and I took him over a helicopter. Over right near the window so that he could get it in his vision. But yes, he did. So anyway, all right, you're listening to Food for Thought. We're at the top of the hour.
Yeah, Michael Simon is standing by.
Michael Simon. Oh, my God, how exciting. Food Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.